I've been sort of thinking about this week. And feel free to jump up and get your moments of exercise, like Donald Trump. He walks to the building, sometimes he runs to a building. This week he does this and that. There's someone who put a picture of a this and that college team. Sorry. Donald Trump, it's awesome. It's been an interesting week for me. I've been hanging out with Habakkuk at the beach and waking up in a tent in the morning and reading, trying to read Habakkuk in different versions and different people's thinkings and writings about him, and just, but also enjoying my summer holiday as well, and enjoying space and time and in New Zealand, and we were in Kaitiriti, and I've never been there before, so we had a beautiful time. I've been imagining Habakkuk looking around the world, seeing the way the Israelites were living, seeing the growing threat of the Babylonians, and trying to understand where God is and what God is going to do about it. I've also had some time this last week with a really special friend who carries huge pain because she sees the faith that she grew up with has failed her completely when really hard situations and struggles have impacted her family. And she is angry and she is hurt and she's struggling and asking, where is God in all of this? And quick answers of God's sovereignty or glib comments about God knowing best are a knife to her already broken heart. And what does Habakkuk say to her? And how does she find hope? And where does she find hope? I've been reading this book called Frustrated with God, and it's a Syrian theologian's reflections on the book of Habakkuk. And he interestingly says that Habakkuk, the name Habakkuk means basil. It's quite different from wrestled, but basil. And he says that maybe that's an indication of the message that Habakkuk is carrying, that when he wrote, the basil was dying in the midst of a harsh and cold winter, and the sky is black and hope seems to have gone. But is this the whole story for the basil? So, I don't know. He talks about a God who is present in the pain and in the suffering in Syria. He talks a little bit about a God who punishes injustice and punishes idolatry and things which I find challenging to read about and think about. He holds so tightly to the words of hope for the future, that one day God will make all things new and God will bring about his kingdom on earth. I've been trying to hold ideas in tension and wondering about a holy God and judgment, about sin and the stories, and what stories that I've been told growing up that I need to keep, and what do I need to look at with new eyes, and how does God look at the systems and structures within our lives that we build our wealth, when we build our wealth at the expense of others? Does he look at them with the same anger and judgment that God looks at nations embracing idolatry? And I think that from that Bible Project description, it's really clear that God does. The systems can be sinful as well as the people. Is God aware when God announces that the Babylonians are going to destroy the Israelites in an act of judgment, that many people will be destroyed, that these people are God's image bearers? And how does God think about this? So a few little things that I've thought about Habakkuk. One, I thought about mystery. Number two, I thought about it's okay to complain to God. Number three, I trust the God I know and experience to hold the world and what has been and what will be. And I will live and pray and wait with hope. The reason that I trust God is because of Jesus, because of the way he lived and cared for people. And the other thing I thought was that God is present. God is there when we are suffering. God is with us. When I think about mystery, I think our God is so big and we are so small. Our understanding is limited and finite, and we see a small part. But God, standing outside time and place, sees the whole. There is so much I don't understand. that God is relational. God is interested in us and wants to know the big and little things that we are experiencing. My lecturer talks about Habakkuk, and he talked about him being the anxious prophet, and that the words he uses in the third chapter in his lament prayer, he said it sounds like a panic attack, as he says, I heard and my heart pounded, my lips quivered at the sound, decay crept into my bones and my legs trembled. That, he said, describes like a panic attack, which sounds like one to me. God wants to know these things. God is like our travelling companion. God wants to know what we're seeing, what we're experiencing, so we don't need to hide things from God, thinking they're too bad or too little, to let it all out, that God is our safe place. When we are suffering, when we see pain that others carry because of the situations they're facing, tell God. I guess, and some things I imagine God is like I'm a child and I'm kicking God in the shins because I am angry and hurting. And you know when a kid does that to their parent and they're just so full of frustration and angst and they see so much, you know, when I see so much pain and someone put in the prayer request last year, one of the kids, he just put, fix it, God, or stop it, God. And it was this amazing expression of just, there's so much pain, we need God's help. I trust that God is love. I trust the God I know who I experience to love and hold the world and all its inhabitants in loving arms. I believe God knows each person, that we are image bearers and that God's breath flows through us. And that's why, to the best of my ability, allowing for honest expression, I can stand with Habakkuk and say that though the things around me don't seem to be working right, I do choose hope. And I choose to pray and to wait. And I choose to trust and entrust myself in this world to God's loving hands. The best picture of God we have is Jesus. And Jesus shows us how God reacts to the pain and injustice in the world. The way Jesus loved, the way he stood up against injustice and religiosity. The way he showed mercy, the inside, outside, upside down kingdom he introduced. That's who God is. How God thinks and acts, how God loves. God is present. When we are in the deepest suffering, God is with us. I remember years ago reading a Philip Yancey book, and he talked about how the passage in the Bible that says that God, it sort of seems to say that God ordains the sparrow to fall to the ground when the sparrow dies, and that God knows about it. And it's quite, when I used to read it, it used to seem like it seemed quite sort of throwaway. But Philip Yancey said another translation of it, and it was that God is there when the sparrow falls to the ground. God is present in the deepest moments of suffering. God is with us. So I want to express all my pain and anger and joy and love to God, and to trust that God is present and with us. And I wait with hope for the one day when God will make all things new.